welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
All right. Hey, before I even get going this morning, I want to invite all the men. If you're a man in here, raise your hand. If you're a man in here, all right, I'm counting. We got 1, 2, 3. Keep your hands up. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There is more. There's like 50 men in here. I'm going to let you know there is a men's conference this weekend right here, Friday and Saturday night. Yeah. Any single ladies, raise your hand if you're single out there. You're not allowed to come. I'm just telling you that right now, all right? All the single ladies. All right. Listen, if you come for anything, I believe the presence of God will be in this house. Stephen McWhorter, look him up. There is an anointing on his life, big time. Came out of bad drug and alcohol abuse, but I'm telling you, he can sing, can't he, Pastor Robert? And he's going to be here with us Friday night. We're going to have a big cornhole tournament. And together, we're going to eat together. It's $60. Listen, if you can't pay the 60 bucks, we are not worried about that. You just call us and let us know that you want to be a part. We're not going to let money stop you from hearing from God and getting touched and impacted in your life. We're having fajitas Friday night. DJ. DJ. If you hadn't had DJ's fajitas, they will minister to you. Hallelujah. And then Saturday night, we're going to be having ribeyes because on the third day, God created the ribeye. Can I get an amen? All right, we're not having, we're not having New York strips. We're not having sirloins. We are having fatty ribeyes made for your heart. Praise the Lord. All right? And so y'all be here for that. It's going to be good. Get signed up today. It's easy to do that. If you have questions about doing that, ask one of us. It's so easy to do. Now, if you haven't been here over the last couple of weeks, I'm going to go ahead and jump to the Word. I have a lot to share with you what's on my heart. We are in a series called Release the Spirit. And what the Lord has really shown me, not just this year, but over time, there's people who's been saved for many years, but they still carry things from their childhood. They still carry things, damage, hurts, or wounds on them, and really, in all essence, they've been demonized. And they carry some things, and how many of y'all know God's called us to live in freedom? Amen. I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all know God's called us to live in freedom? Amen. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I believe there is freedom here. Like I said, I believe the potter's in the house, and he is making some new people new. And Over 2 weeks ago, I talked about the spirit of Jezebel. Last week, the spirit of fear. Now, this message I'm going to preach today, I actually had this to preach last week, and I've actually had an opportunity to add to that. But sometimes I believe this is for two reasons. I believe there's somebody that wasn't here last week that's here this week that you need to hear this. But I also believe this in my heart that I had to preach last week on the spirit of fear because I was dealing with it in my own life. On Saturday, my mother calls me. We were eating Mexican food in Enid, Oklahoma. We just watched Anson play his first round of the tournament. She calls me and says, as you know, Dad is in Cuba ministering the gospel, which he was. And she called me and said that he had left a second session of him ministering, and he has gone to the hospital. He is experiencing bad chest pains. I mean, heavy. And so he gets to the hospital, and they run an EKG. He's asked for pain medicines. It feels like there's an elephant on his chest. And so they run an EKG, and it's abnormal. And so I pray with mother on the phone. I call my dad, which I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I called dad, and I could definitely know he was in pain. And pray with him over the phone. But when I did that, fear came over me. You know what the enemy does is like you hear it and it's like he's gone. Let's just go ahead. What am I going to say at the funeral? I mean, you think it's crazy, but this is the things that's going inside of your head. And it's like, no, I'm not ready to say goodbye to my dad. And so I begin to declare he'll live and not die and declare the word of the Lord. And so on Sunday, they do a sonogram and they say, Mr. Bennett, your heart is okay, but it's not great. And your arteries are okay, but they are not great as well. So we begin to pray. Again, on the phone, I'm connecting in faith. And my dad, the whole time, he is just rock, standing in faith. My mother, standing in faith. In fact, I was very careful who I shared that with because I wanted people to connect with my faith that he'll live and not die and declare the word of the Lord. Amen. I didn't put it on Facebook. I didn't announce it to everybody. But I, and so anyways, I just want to tell you the end of this. On Wednesday, they did a scope. They went through his groin in Cuba. Like, home of the good cigars. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, when I first talked to my dad, I was like, Pops, you've been smoking them Cuban cigars down there? What's going on? He goes, no, the way I feel, I would like one right now, all right? And so in Cuba, but can I tell you, he had favor from the place that he was speaking at. A doctor was connected to a private hospital, and he went to a private hospital, and he said the care that he got there was way better, I hate to even say it, than he's ever had in America of anything. And he got incredible care inside of that hospital. And on Wednesday, they did a scope, went up through his groin. They looked at his heart and his arteries. And they said, we don't know what's happened, but you've got a great heart and you've got great arteries. Amen? But I was gonna preach on the spirit of rejection last week, but sometimes I got to preach to myself. And how many of y'all know 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the rest of that is power, it's love, and a sound mind. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to do it, because what the enemy does is he tries to get inside of your head. And what the whole point of this release the spirit, there's a spirit world, is just as real as the world that you and I are living in right now. And you may can't see it, but it's real. And if you weren't here last week, I'll just real quick, there's three kingdoms that are at work inside of the earth. The Bible shows us in Matthew chapter 12 that there's the kingdom of God, and that consists of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, angels. So it's the kingdom of God. But in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, he talks about a kingdom that is divided against itself, and it says the kingdom of Satan. So just as much as there is a kingdom of God, there is a kingdom of Satan. And it's a Satan, it's his fallen angels, it's demons that are at work throughout the earth. Would you believe, let me see a show of hands, believe that there is demons that are at work throughout the earth, all right? Just watch the television. Go to Washington, D.C. Praise the Lord, all right? There's the kingdom of man, just like the kingdom of the United States that we live in. It's not only empires of past, but it's empires of day. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. When Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, we see that there is empires that are on the earth. There's a kingdom of man. So there's a kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of man. And what happens is, in every kingdom, there are spirits, the spirit of the Lord, right? There's a spirit that have names and characteristics that can get on the inside of them, infect the way they think, the way they believe, the way they see things and people. In fact, when Paul is writing to the young pastor at Ephesus, Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, now that this is the Spirit of God, saying to him, as he writes it down, that in the latter times, which the time I believe we're living in now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits. There's seductive, seducing spirits that are in the earth today. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, again of the coming of Christ, he says, now brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit, everybody say spirit, or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So he's warning us that there are spirits that are working throughout the earth. And so today I want to talk about a spirit of rejection. If you have your Bibles, open Luke chapter 15. And I want you to have grace with me, because this is a door that I've never opened up ever. I've never preached on this, so I really had, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I know there's lots of probably good studies and teaching out there, and it's not that I'm against those. I just want to be led by the Lord of what God would have to say to us. And the very first thing that came to my mind was this parable in Luke chapter 15. All of us know the end of that. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And in all of this, I see the Father, I see the Son, and I see the Spirit. I see the Father how many of y'all know Jesus is the Good Shepherd, right? The prodigal son, we see the Father at work there, because the Father puts a ring on his finger. How many of y'all thankful for the Father, our Father, God, who always welcomes us back? Aren't you thankful for that? And then the parable of the lost coin, this is coming from a girl, and always in the Greek, you see the Spirit of God in that female text. And so I don't necessarily know that it's like that, but what I do see, the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, I see that these are items or people or things that are not necessarily lost, but they're displaced. And I see people in the body of Christ, it's not that they're found, right? They've asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, but they still have some places in their life that are misplaced. It's like when I play golf, when I hit it into the rough or into the woods, or I've hit it to where I don't see the ball anymore, I don't count that as a stroke because I know it's out there somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. But and how many of y'all know there's people that are just misplaced? They're just misplaced because maybe of an upbringing or a mindset or whatever it is. And what I love about this, this tells the heart of our Father through all of this text as Jesus is talking in parable form. And what I love in verse 1, it says, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. I love it that it puts tax collectors and sinners in the same context. Just this last week, April the 15th was tax day. All the sinners tried to take your money. Can I get an amen from the taxpaying people? All right. It says, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen. These tax collectors, what you need to know is about this particular culture, they were the lowest and they were the most shamed people in all the community, along with the sinners. But what I love about it is that the heart of God is this, that I want all of them to be drawn to me. How about we live a life that we're created in the image of God, that people are drawn, that tax collectors and sinners are drawn to the Jesus that's living on the inside of you. Then he goes to verse 2 and it says, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. See, in verse 2 here, the Pharisees complained that he ate with them, that he ate with them. See, because eating with them in that particular culture expressed honor to them. And what I love about this, what it's showing me with tax collectors and sinners, and that they are seeing with their own eyes, that Jesus honored the ones who had no honor or no value. Aren't you thankful that Jesus honored you when nobody else did? I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the back that didn't hear me. Aren't you thankful that Jesus honored you when nobody else has in your life? He held value on people that the culture despised. I love the story about Zacchaeus, who was the tax collector in Jericho. The Bible says, He said, I want to come to your house and I want to eat with you. This is somebody who, a man who was living in deep shame. This tells the heart of God. In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19 in verse 10, for the Son of Man has to come and to seek and save that which was lost. The Bible also tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed or demonized, for God was with him. So I want to talk about a spirit of rejection this morning. As I've said before and kind of opened this up for the last couple of weeks, there is a surrounding spirit world around us. And can I tell you, when God created you from the very beginning, we see in the book of Genesis, we're designed for the spiritual to be a normal part of our life. I'm going to say that again. And this isn't weird. And this isn't very superstitious. This is just being honest with you. We're designed for the spiritual to be a normal part of our life. How many of y'all know we're to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? But what happened was, is through the fall of Adam, man became orphaned and lost his father. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 8, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just as much as a fish, when he is born into a pond, he knows how to swim. When you're born into the world, you know how to sin. And so what happens is, because of sin, the Bible tells us sin disconnects us from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the fall of Adam, right away, when you come into the world, you are fatherless. Like you may have on your birth certificate, Donnie Bennett and Rhonda Bennett as a mother, but we are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. And so you are rejected right away. And what a father does is he imparts. A father pushes you. You get the birthright from the father. And so when there is not a father, that's why it's so important that John chapter 3, when Jesus met with Nicodemus at night, he said, you must be born again. Aren't you thankful that you've been born again? And now the father, you belong to him and he belongs to you? You were disconnected at birth, but because now you are a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. I may have lost some of you, but I'm just here to tell you, aren't you thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for you and I? Yeah. So through the fall of Adam, man became orphaned and lost his father. And you're born in this world missing something, a God connection. And can I tell you, this is why I see that the devil attacks this, because it brings you big pain. And you'll stay an orphan until you engage God as your father. That's why it's so important you get born again. The Bible talks about rejection. In fact, we see through the Old Testament so many different stories. They may not call it that, but you can see a spirit of rejection that's all over it, starting with Cain. But I want to share a few scriptures with you, and then I want to talk about, just as much as there is a spirit of rejection, there is a spirit of full acceptance as well we can grab a hold of. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you." Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you." But the spirit of acceptance says this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, "The spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Isaiah 61. Jesus is reiterating inside the temple as the book is open to this. And he says, "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim," look at it, "the acceptable year of the Lord." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the days of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time." I want to say it too. It means that today for us in April of 2024, behold, now is the day of accepted time. Amen? "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 6. I do want to just share with you verse 6, but I can't even say it without saying verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Notice he doesn't say the pastor. Notice he doesn't say the bishop. Notice he doesn't say the pope. This is for every believer that is breathing inside of this room. Every spiritual blessing. You may not get excited about that, but I want it. In the heavenly places in Christ, look at verse 4. "Just as he chose us in him," he chose you. Your parents may not have, but God did, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." How many of y'all know we can be accepted? How many of y'all know we can be accepted? I want us to say we can be accepted. 1, 2, 3, we can be accepted. You need to hear that out of your mouth. Get it inside of your heart. I can be accepted. There's some fruits of the spirit of rejection, just a few of them I want to share with you, and then I really want to get into some biggies that are a part and even definitely inside of the church. But you know the spirit of rejection is working in your life. First of all, you find yourself comparing your circumstances or situations with others, and you never, never, never measure up. That's a lie. Here's the second thing. You feel like you missed out on life's opportunities, and now you feel like it's too late, so why even get in the game? Here's the third thing. No amount of encouragement is enough to convince you of your worth. No person, no thing, no car, no house. You feel rejected if you are not greeted or acknowledged by any leadership of any kind. You constantly seek the approval of others and suffer from people-pleasing. You're easily offended and embarrassed from discipline or correction. You're always trying to prove yourself in public. You feel like you're on the outside looking in during interactions with people. You think you could do a better job than the current leader or teacher if you are given the opportunity. You believe no one understands you or what you are going through. That's just a few. I'm going to talk about some more and how they come in here in a minute. And I'm going to talk about the who. I'm going to talk about what it does, but I'm going to talk about how we can win over that. How many of y'all know we can win over rejection? Amen. So rather than asking the question, who in here has been rejected, I just want to ask a question. How many of y'all remember a time where you were rejected? Raise your hand. I believe I should see 100% participation in the room. We've all had it, whether it be from a girl in the sixth grade, when you passed her a love note, or a boy. Remember that time in the fifth grade or the eighth grade where you passed a note, you came up with something clever like, roses are red and some socks are black, but baby, I want you to be my Daddy Mac. And they write back to you, no. You're ugly, you're too fat, you're too skinny. No, there's no way that can be a part. The best, obviously how Brandy became to be a part of my life, I just walked up to her at Amarillo College and said, honey, we're having a Bible, or I said, or whoever you are, we are having a Bible study. We're studying the book of Numbers, and the Lord wanted me to ask you for yours. Praise the Lord, all right? All right. Whether it be a girl, that wasn't it at all, was it? I'm in the pulpit. I can say whatever I want to. All right. Whether you've been rejected by a girl or a man or an ex, whatever it is, a boss, a friend, a parent, we've all experienced times of rejection. And in fact, I was thinking back over my life. I had such good parents that showed me acceptance. So this isn't necessarily something that I've really, really struggled with in my life. But there have been moments. I remember having a youth pastor that I just loved, but I always felt rejected by him. I wasn't ever good enough. I just didn't have what it takes to be a part of his inner circle. I remember a couple years ago, I was talking to Pastor Brandy about this yesterday. I remember walking in the door. I had this bright Ralph Lauren t-shirt on, and I walked in. How many of y'all know people are just ugly today? And I walk in. I didn't know this guy from Adam. And he said to me, oh, my God. Gosh, your shirt is so bright, it hurts my eyes. Well, stop looking at me, you moron. And I think I said it something like that, and then repented. I said, in Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me, for he is so stupid. But how many of you know if you're not careful, if rejection is on you, that could take you way farther than what's happening inside of a pack of sack? I remember the phone call from a client. I'm so thankful for some clients that I have today. That I've been shoeing for over 20 years. But I remember in the early days that I've been shoeing like 5 and 6 years that I just hadn't seen everything yet. There were some things that were up ahead of me. And I remember one particular horse, I think I was supposed to put sliders on the back, put regular shoes, and I messed up another one. It was 8 or 9 head. And I remember him calling me and him just belittling me and beating me up. And I was thinking to myself, I really knew that the Lord had called me to do this because those of you that know the story of even how I got into shoeing, I believe it was the Lord. And it was a calling that was on my life, still on my life today, but I remember me questioning all of those things. How many of y'all have ever been in those moments where you just question, am I really in the right spot? Am I really supposed to be the mom of this child? Am I really supposed to be the dad? No, I'm being real, right? There's just times, am I really supposed to be married to this spouse? And a common belief of rejection is I'm all alone and I have to do this by myself. And what it begins to do is it influences every part of your life. And what does, I've seen rejection be the psychiatrist and the shrink. Rather than what I'm getting at is when you go to a psychiatrist and a shrink, you lay down on side the couch and you spill out things to them. See, I believe there's people in this room, you have dreams, you have ambitions, you have callings that God has placed in your heart maybe 5 years ago, maybe 5 months ago, maybe it was 5 minutes ago. And if you're not careful, you will open up of what God has called you to do, where he's called you to go and do what he's called you to do, and you will open up your heart to that rejection of times in your life that you have failed, and you will sit on the couch and pour it out to the shrink of rejection, and he will talk you out of being right in the will of God for your life. But I'm here to tell you the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and I believe what he's doing is he, the potter, is in the room. But what happens is people that are rejected, you can't dream because that dream will get rejected. There's three biggies that I want to point out. I want to talk about how they come, but I also want to talk about how we can win over them. The big one is this. Number one, rejection attacks who you are. It attacks your identity. Because people think this, especially in the time and day that we're living in, your identity, you think that your identity is attached to what people say about you. Can I tell you what people have said about you on Facebook? You realize that that's not real? That these people are keyboard warriors? These are people that don't even like you, right? You think your identity is attached to possessions you have, the car you drive, the house that you own, the clothes that are on your back. You think your identity is attached to the position that you have. You think your identity is attached to the success or the title. People that are rejected, lots of times they have a hard time. No, I'm a pastor and you will call me pastor. No, I'm this or I'm that. No, listen. If you're not careful, rejection will attack the very essence of who you are. I'll give you an example of this. A couple years ago, when Charlie Cox was alive, I did a lot of funerals with Charlie. I just because he would do like a Western, did a great job. He'd do like a Western type funeral. And I remember when I first got into ministry, I remember him calling me. He said, "Hey, my name's Charlie Cox. I just want to tell you there is someone that is dying to hear you preach." I think that's funny. Some of you are like, "What's he talking about?" I'm like, "Somebody died, and now they want me to come preach the funeral." Okay, that's what's happening. And I used to always tell him, "Man, Charlie, you're in a killer business." We'd always laugh back and forth to one another. But I remember he calls me and says, "Hey, so-and-so," Heidi might remember this, "but so-and-so, this family has called and they want you to do the funeral." I said, "Charlie, I have no clue who these people are." "Well, they're members of your church and they've asked for Pastor Travis Bennett to come do the funeral." I thought, well, this is terrible. So I called Heidi. I said, "Heidi, who is so-and-so?" "Well, I don't know." I'm like, "Well, I don't know either. So I'm going to go meet these people at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Let's figure it out." So we Facebook stalked them, sent me pictures. I have no clue on earth who these people are. So anyways, I go to the funeral home at 1 o'clock. I sit down in front of them, and they say to me, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Travis Bennett, pastor." "No, you're not." "Yeah, I am." Like, "No, you're not." "Yeah, I am." And, you know, I'm faking it. Tell them, "How you guys doing? We're praying for you." I'm just faking it, right? "Here for you guys. You know, the love of the Lord is going to show himself to you." And he goes, "No, you're not." I said, "Yes, I am." And then I begin to question myself, "Am I Travis Bennett?" Like, what is going on? Like, "No, we wanted Pastor Travis Bennett of St. Stephen's Methodist." I'm like, "Oh, that guy." Y'all know that. At St. Stephen Methodist on Western, his name is Pastor Travis Austin Bennett. I'm Travis Lee Bennett. And I also wanted to tell you this, that I was here before him. I'm much better looking, and I know the Bible better than he does. But, no, I'm kidding. I love him. In fact, I want to give him a shout out, because when the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church came and said, "Hey, we're going to fly the pride flag, and we're going to put homosexuals in parts of ministry," he stood up and said, "No, we're not going to do that in this Methodist church." So give him a hand for that. Isn't that awesome? In fact, years ago, me and him did a youth rally together. He was from Hart, Texas at the time, and we were in Plainview, and we both got there, and they asked two Travis Bennetts to minister. This is like, gosh, what was that, 15, 20 years ago, long time ago. And so anyways, but I know that's a funny story and crazy how that all happened. But how many of y'all know it's just the subtle things even of that? The enemy will put stuff inside of your head when a spirit of rejection is on you to tell you, no, you are not a new creation in Christ. You'll begin to question yourself, even though you know and you've read and people have told you and you've heard the word preached that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You will begin to reject it because it attacks your identity. A spirit of rejection will push you to believe your personal value comes from what outside of me rather than what's on the inside of me. How many of y'all know when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said this, "It's not what's on the outside of a cup that defiles a man, but what's on the inside." If your identity is in the external things, you will always be vulnerable and manipulated by circumstances and people. If your identity is in the approval of people, they have the power over you to manipulate you by withholding that approval. How many of y'all know we're approved by God? End of the story. And what happens is when their identity's attacked, if you're getting recognized, you're on top. But if you don't, it's overwhelming to you and it's way too much. Jesus' identity was attacked when he was inside of the wilderness. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we also see it in Luke and Mark as well, but he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The very first thing that the enemy attacks, and he always does, is identity. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But what do you say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My whole point is this. His identity was attacked. If you're the Son of God, impress people on what you can do. It's not what I can do, but it's God in me, what he can do through me. So the second thing is this. Number one, rejection attacks who you are. Number two is this. Rejection damages the way you see life and people. The way you look at life and people will begin to change when rejection's on you. Can I tell you this? You don't interpret through your eyes and your mind, even though you think you do. You actually interpret everything through this big pounding heart inside of your chest. And if your heart is wounded, everything is an attack. Say that again. If your heart is wounded, everything, whether it be from somebody that you love, you cherish, everything's been good with, everything will be an attack. What did they mean by that? Why did they put an exclamation mark at the end of that text message? You'll begin to think about, you'll make molehills into mountains. They don't like me. They don't want me. Because can I tell you this with all confidence? Hurt people always hurt people. Hurt people always hurt people. And I also tell you another one, offended people always try to offend people. When someone else gets recognition, rejection will tell the heart that should have been me. You realize how long I've been here? Do they not realize all the things that I've done? Rejected people have a hard time rejoicing in other people's victories. Rejection will cause you to misinterpret life and always misinterpret people, even ones you love. Here's the third one. Rejection attacks who you are. Rejection damages the way you see people, life, and people. It's quiet in here, so I know the Spirit's at work. Number three is this. Rejection hinders people from receiving from God. Oh, this is big. Pay attention. Because you need to know this. Everything from God comes by faith. You have to believe. Faith is in the heart. So I want to ask the question. I want to ask across the room, who in here believes by faith God can do big things for you? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. With all my heart. I believe the blind can still see. I believe the lame can still walk. I believe the deaf can still hear. In fact, I had a dream last night. John Lucero called me. He's calling me. I believe it in my heart. I believe the Lord showed me that in a dream because it's happening. John, wake up. Rejection will allow you to believe God can do it for anyone but you. You're the exception. And what happens is a spirit of unbelief opens that door. Or a spirit of rejection opens the door to a spirit of unbelief. Remember in Hebrews chapter 3, it says this, they didn't go into the promised land because they didn't do what God called them to do. They didn't go into the promised land because they did not believe. Yeah. Unbelief's huge, y'all. And what happens is the spirit, it begins to fill our mind with thoughts. They become so common that they become our thoughts. And it doesn't occur to you that it's not from the inside, but it's from the outside. What is happening, whether it be a spirit of fear, a spirit of Jezebel, a spirit is training you the whole time on how to respond to life. And I believe there's people even inside of this room, you've been praying for things and you're not receiving because rejection connects with unbelief to keep you from receiving. You watch others get it and you will walk away thinking this, what went wrong? What did I do? That's the enemy. God doesn't love me. God loves them. But I'll keep trying it. Can I tell you what Romans chapter 8 says? And can I tell you this, those of you that are going to walk in freedom, this, I believe today there's going to be freedom, but you can't just end it here at the altar. You've got to go home and meditate on the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to meditate on Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4, that we have come into the sonship and adoption of Jesus Christ. But Romans chapter 8 says in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again. The power of the cross has the ability and has already done everything to set you free from sin and failure. Amen. For those of you that didn't hear me in the back, I hope you get it in your heart. God is doing something in people's hearts right now. The power of the cross has already done the work to set you free from sin and failure. Pastor, how does rejection come? Well, I'll tell you, it comes in through a spirit. And you, if you're not careful, a spirit that's on somebody that you love can get all over you. And that spirit works through other spirits and it begins to torment. And then a wound takes place when we get hurt by people. And then what happens is you begin to believe a whole set of beliefs you never believed before, but now you do because it's on you. Can I tell you, people are wounded in the womb. People can have rejection on them that it comes from the womb.
Yeah, that's right.
From a time that a mama was dealing with something inside of her, and it, mamas will tell you, they feel as connected to that baby is connected to that mama. Yeah. And what happens is that baby is born into a life that is rejected at birth. Can I tell you, I've seen a spirit of rejection on animals before. I saw it on a mare one time. I've seen it I've seen it in some dogs before, but I saw it on a mare one time that was a fire-breathing dragon. And I knew it was a spirit. In fact, there was times when I did get the horse shod with drugs and ropes and tied it down in the arena. And at the time, I think I put some Copenhagen inside of its eye to kind of calm it down. But there was a spirit all over this particular horse. I could just sense it. I could feel it. And they began to tell me that the mom rejected that baby at birth. And when this particular baby, or this mama that was wild and carried that spirit, when it had a baby, it killed its baby the minute it hit the ground. And I tell you, people may not kill their children because that's murder, but I can tell you this, that there are kids that are born every single day feeling rejected, and you may think it's an infant, but it's a spirit that's at work inside their spirit. I've seen a spirit of rejection come on kids being a youth pastor for years at a divorce. When a dad left the home, or maybe someone died inside of the home, for some reason that spirit of rejection came on then, and they thought it was all their fault. Conflict between parents, that's why it's so important. Moms and dads. We know that there will be conflict. I know there will be intense moments. But don't do that in front of your children. Because what happens is that gets on your kids. And your kids think that this is what love is. And there's fighting that's back and forth. And it gets heavy inside of a home. And I realize there's times that happens, but repent to your kids. Because what happens is kids will live in fear. And that door of fear will open a fear of rejection. That kids will live in tension, they'll live in anxiety. Or this is what you have, you'll have a controlling parent that wants to control every single thing in their life, controls everything. Lots of times it's a single child that this happens to, but what happens is a kid grows up thinking that he can't express himself. Meaning this, I don't count. Even at times of discipline, listen, I'm not telling you to take the side of your kid, and you need to be led by the Spirit in this, but if you don't ever allow your children to express themselves, they'll think nobody's ever going to listen to them. And it's a spirit of rejection that'll come over them. When kids aren't allowed to communicate, that's terrible. The spirit of rejection can come in when people are sexually abused, raped, or something like that, when they've been violated. What happens? Their boundaries have been violated. Rejection comes in. When somebody's constantly criticized, they think to themselves, I can't do anything right. The size of your body can bring rejection, whether it's be too big or too small or whatever it is. Through the eyes of rejection, you'll think everybody's against you. Betrayal from somebody you trusted and loved. And that could be a mom, could be a dad, it could be your grandpa, it could be your grandpa, grandma. It could be a spouse of any kind. I've seen rejection come on people because of a church, because of legalism. You have to look a certain way. But can I tell you, as I read in Luke chapter 15, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. Jesus made everyone welcome. But he did want us to change. And so, those are just some things of how rejection can come in. But I want to show you the heart of the Father here in the prodigal son. If you know anything about this particular story, this one of the sons, not the jealous brother, but one of the sons says, hey, can you give me my inheritance so I can do my own thing? And he finds himself inside of a pig pen. I want to tell you, just as much as there can be a spirit of rejection, and you know he had to be feeling that being inside of a pig pen full of pig slop. And the enemy was reminding him over and over inside of his head, remember who you used to be, but you're not that anymore. That's what rejection will do. It'll continually remind you of what was, not of what is. And so in verse 20, this is what I love about the Father. It says, so he set out and came to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Amen. Hey, this is the heart of God right here. I don't care what dad, what mom, what person, what boss has X. Listen, if you're not careful, that ex will still haunt you in a marriage that you've been happily in for 5 years. And you won't open up to that person. You won't share your heart to that person because of rejection that happened that you need to be set free from. But I want to tell you what Jesus said, and I want to go back to the text in Luke chapter 4. If somebody would come and play, so I'll shut up. How many of y'all getting something out of the word this morning? I hope you are. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here. But Jesus is sharing out of Isaiah chapter 61. And he's sharing, and I want you to think about after everything we've already talked about this morning. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not the spirit of rejection, not the spirit of fear, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You know what anointing does? It brings empowerment to bring good news to the poor. Not just talking about wealth and money. He's talking about poor in their actions, poor in their thoughts. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. You know what I believe he's talking about right here? He's talking more, no more than. God has called me and anointed me for such a time as this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That he sent him in the world and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to deal with the spirit of rejection that you've had ever since you were born. And he said to proclaim, this is how he's going to do it, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. I want you to think about it. That's what Jesus came to do. Yeah. He came to proclaim. He came to die on the cross. See, we could never do all the things that the law asks us to do. Right. We could never perform of how we were supposed to perform. But Jesus can, and Jesus did. He laid down his life for you and me. What we see in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all thankful for the Spirit of the Lord? And in John chapter 14, he says, I know I'm leaving. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not go and prepare. Am I going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. And I will take you to myself that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you this, that I'm not leaving you. In fact, he goes on to say this, I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I came here so that you could be accepted. Come on, I'm declaring with my mouth, there is people, there is women, there is children inside of this room that you've lived rejected your whole life. There's been a demonized spirit that's been on you. And I'm just here to remind you of what God has already done. You may not be accepted by the person you want to be accepted by, but it doesn't matter. You've been accepted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has not left you here to be orphans. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look what he says. For those who are in accord with the flesh. Verse 5 of chapter 8. I'm telling you. Galatians chapter 4. Romans chapter 8. You need to read it because you've been adopted. You know, in the state of Texas, actually all of America, if you're adopted, you got more rights than somebody who came from an actual daddy. How many of y'all know? I'm going to share it right here. For those who are in accord with the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things are of the Spirit. See, here's the thing. You're having a hard time walking in the Spirit because the Spirit is connected still to you. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind that's set in the Spirit is life and peace. See, when that correction comes through you or that person walks away from you, I'm telling you, you can still, it may be hard, but because of your adoption and because of your acceptance in Jesus, you can still live in life and peace. And if it's not life and peace, I don't want it. But look what it says in verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, which we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know who my daddy is. Well, here in a minute, I can introduce you to an Abba Father, one that never leaves you and never forsakes you. There's a spirit of acceptance, I believe, inside of the room today. I believe there's a spirit of acceptance in the room today. God's heart is to connect to us. God's heart, think about that, is to connect with us. You're called to be a carrier of the presence of God. How can you be rejected if you're carrying his presence? Jesus said this. He said, draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. Amen. See, I believe this with all my heart. I want you to go ahead and stand to your feet today because I believe there's people in the room. This is what the Lord showed me to do. How many of y'all know there's freedom in the room today? I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all know there is freedom in the room today? And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to go back to it. Jeremiah chapter 18. There's the potter is in the house. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, look at this. But the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. Meaning this, those of you that have been rejected and thrown away, whatever who it was or whatever it is. So he remade it into another vessel. Can I tell you, there is power through the Spirit of God to remake you this morning. There is power through the Spirit of God to remake you this morning. And you may have not even experienced it to the last couple of years. There's some of you, you feel rejected by God, maybe by somebody who's died, or there's something that you really don't understand. Can I tell you, the secret things belong to God. You need to give it back to him. Maybe you feel rejected by God. Maybe you feel rejected by a leader. Maybe it's by your kids or whatever it is. Maybe it's by a spouse. I'm telling you. There is power in the room today to set the captive free. To set the captive free. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I know this room is full of people. You know how I know it? Because some of the things that you tell me. You know how I know it? I look at your Facebook page. You know how I know it? I see it in your kids. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Can I tell you this? I've seen rejection on people so hard that it affects their heart physically. Hurt so bound up. I've gone to see people before where they're just bound up and a spirit of infirmity came in from rejection that happened as a child. Come on, I believe people can be set free today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if that's you, you say, you know what, that's me. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I want you to come down here because I want to lay hands on you. You have a spirit of rejection on you. Come on down here right now. Right now. Yeah, be honest. Amen. One honest one in the crowd. We got praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord told me. Men, I'm proud of the men that are coming up here. Give these men a hand as they come forward. Come on. Y'all come up here. Y'all come up here. Oh, there's way more than this. There is way more than this. God's already dealing in people's heart. You ain't that tough. Come on, do you want to be free? Who wants to be free? Come on, I don't know about you, but if we're free in this place, no telling what God can do in this house. No telling what God can do in his house. There's way more than this. I'm just going to give it a second. I'm not going to be that manipulative preacher that says, all right, I'm going to give you one more altar call. Okay, five. I'm going to get one more minute. All right, two more minutes. No, either you want it or you don't. Amen. Praise God. There's more than that. There's more than that. There's more than that. All right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You might be going through it now. It may have been long ago. But when I was talking about those particular characteristics, you're like, preacher, you're talking right to me. This is what I want to do. I want leadership to come up behind here, lay hands on this, but we're going to renounce this. We're going to call it out. We're going to tell rejection to pack its bags and go. You're not welcome here anymore. So, those of you that are up here that have came forward and said, you know what, this is me. Amen. We got more. We got more. I know that. I know it. I know it. We may have some creepers by the end of all this. That's okay. Hey, that's okay. We're going to stand in freedom today. So let's call it out. I want you to lift your hands. Say, spirit of rejection. I'm talking to you. I renounce you in my heart, in my spirit, and I command you to go. You're not welcome. Quit affecting my heart. Quit affecting my mind. Quit affecting my eyes. Right now, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord comes strong upon me and I would walk in freedom, no longer bound up but about what she said or what he said or what the enemy said. Today, I choose to walk in freedom. To walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, shout it. In Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Come on, stretch your hands out towards these. Those of you that are obviously walking in freedom, I want you to stretch your hands out towards these. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. That grief gotta go. Grief has to go in Jesus' name. Grief has got to go. Gotta go. In Jesus' mighty name. God, I just pray for freedom. By the Spirit of God. Lord, he's not what they've said. Lord, I just pray right now for peace. Life. I speak life. I speak peace. I speak life. I speak peace. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name, I speak freedom. I speak freedom. I speak freedom. I speak freedom. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're not who you were. You're not that person. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Spirit of the living God, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak the spirit of adoption. I speak the spirit of adoption. I speak the spirit of adoption. Oh, look at it now. But look at it now. Look at it now. That's God. That's not me. But look at it now. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future, to give you a hope. It wasn't too late. It's right on time. It wasn't too late. It's right on time. It wasn't too late. You know those weren't my words. You know those weren't my words. It was out of anger. It was flesh. Listen. You're a daughter of me. You're a child of me. I'm not hindering you. Today I'm excelling you. You're no longer gonna love out of hurt. You're gonna love out of being free. So I speak peace right now. Peace. Peace. Overwhelm her right now. Love and peace from the top of her head to the soles to the tips of her toes. Don't come back. Those words aren't coming back. No, no. No, no. We put it under the blood. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, I know it's been hard. It's been rough. Oh, spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. May he experience you as a father. In Jesus' name. Healed. 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 The Father's embracing you. The Father's embracing you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Have y'all prayed for these? Have y'all prayed for these? Y'all come up, pray for these. Is it all right if we just take a little time to pray for some people? 12:15, I promise you the buffet will be open at 1. Church, I want you to pray. Pray for these. We don't do this all the time. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of full acceptance. No hurt. No hurt. No hurt. In Jesus' mighty name. Not out of the flow of what it was. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name, not out of the flow of what it was. Oh, rivers of living water will burst through from your belly. That's what it is. Spirit of God, fall fresh on them. Spirit of God, fall fresh on them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Oh, in Jesus' name. Spirit of adoption, let it go. Let it go. You know how to do it. You just need to want to do it. Do it. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, freedom come. Freedom come. Spirit of adoption. Oh, in Jesus' name, spirit of adoption, spirit of God. There's one last thing that I want to share. People are still getting ministered to, but this is what I want to tell you. And I know there's people in the room that didn't come forward. But I want to tell you this, you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. You have to. Forgive. Say it with me, forgive. All right? Those of you that the Lord is ministering, breaking this off of you. And when you leave here, it doesn't stop here. Every single day, I'm breaking the agreement of rejection off of my life. Because if you don't, then you'll go into self-pity. And you need to know this. You need to choose to believe that God can and will set you free. And so how do I do this, Pastor? I'll tell you how you do it. You renew the mind. And listen, I know there's lots of you, you listen to great podcasts and things like that. I'm not saying you need to stop doing that. But I'm telling you, you've actually got to pick this up and read it. Pick it up. Read it. Pastor, I follow great, great people on TikTok, and they minister to me. Whoop-dee-freaking-do. I listen to Air One. I'm not saying to stop doing that. I'm saying this. Air One ain't going to change your life. This is going to change your life. You got to meditate on the Word. And also, too, listen, I'm leading up to, because in a couple weeks we're going to experience Pentecost. But if you know how to pray in the Spirit, you need to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says it's the evidence of speaking in tongues, but I believe it's more than evidence of speaking in tongues. It's the evidence that you are adopted and there's a spirit of acceptance, because how else could you pray in an unknown tongue if it wasn't for the Lord? Right? It's an evidence. And this is what I also want to tell you. Take this to the bank. God loves you. 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 And so does Jim. Amen. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.